I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. The federal government is under increasing pressure to ban gambling advertising. Independent MPs have backed the Alliance for Gambling Reform's calls for immediate reforms. In an open letter to the Prime Minister in opposition, it said gambling losses exacerbated social harms like physical and mental health issues. An inquiry led by late Labor MP Peter Murphy called for a total ban on gambling advertisements, but the government is yet to commit to any gambling reform. Independent Senator Jackie Lambie was among the parliamentarians calling for the government to enact change.
How about just for once today, just for once, put the future of our kids first?
Victoria has backed out on raising the age of criminal responsibility to 14. The state government will push ahead with legislation to raise the current age of criminal responsibility from 10 to 12. It had originally planned to raise the age to 14 by 2027, but after a series of prominent incidents involving alleged youth offenders, the Victorian government has decided to dump that move. It means that children as young as 10 can be charged, convicted, and imprisoned in the state. The ACT passed legislation to raise the age to 14 by 2025, with some exceptions, while Tasmania has pledged to raise the minimum age of criminal detention to 14. A coalition of Torres Strait Islander leaders have rejected a Queensland government report from an investigation into the Torres and Cape Hospital and Health Service. Leaders were invited to a task force meeting shortly before the report was released last Friday. The Torres Strait Island Regional Council Mayor Philemon Mosby has told 4MW the report's not truly independent and investigators have failed to adequately consult.
The Torres Strait Coalition haven't been afforded the opportunity to preview the report prior to handing down the report. We felt insulted as a coalition, as democratically elected leaders of our region, that we wasn't given the respect to our roles.
Australia has a once-in-a-century opportunity to lead the world's green iron industry, but could miss it if governments, mining firms and investors fail to take action. That's what a study from the independent think tank Climate Energy Finance has found. It analysed the nation's potential to transform its iron industry using renewable energy, finding it could double export earnings by $250 billion a year. But the report also found 2% of electricity used in Western Australia's Pilbara region came from renewable sources and warns Australia could lose the opportunity to other countries if it delays reforms. The study comes months after mining and energy firms announced the pilot project to look at green steel production and after the federal government launched a public consultation into the green metal exports. 4 people died on Australia's roads over the weekend with calls for drivers to slow down. 114 lives have been lost on Western Australian roads this year, while the Victoria road toll stands at 176. There have been 177 deaths on Queensland roads, while New South Wales toll sits at 214. WA Premier Roger Cook says the figures are disappointing given the state's low road toll last year.
This comes despite over $1 billion of investment in regional roads, significant investment in our metropolitan network. So we'll continue to work with the Road Safety Commission. Our engineers continue to invest heavily in our road infrastructure. But we need, obviously, Western Australian motorists to make some safe choices as well.
To sport and in the AFL, Collingwood coach Craig McRae has sidestepped the war of words with Sydney counterpart John Longmire, admitting he went too far in his post-match comments about a contentious umpiring decision. McRae was officially cautioned by the AFL yesterday, but doubled down on his assessment that Dan McStay should have been paid a 50-metre penalty in the dying stages of the Magpies' 3-point loss to the Swans last Friday night. In the immediate aftermath, McRae said it would have been paid at the MCG and also highlighted what he felt was a circus surrounding insufficient intent calls during the match. It sparked a stinging rebuke from Longmire, who laughed when asked by reporters about McRae's post-match comments. Longmire says it was an extraordinary admission from a coach of a team that has the biggest home ground advantage in the AFL. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed the bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Not sure who to turn to for legal advice?
Want someone who knows what you and your mob need?
And need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law.
They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector.
They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more.
Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 130 88. Choose a law firm that understands you.
Marawa Law, station sponsor. Hey,
hit me! Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the country. Thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, and a big shout to all you mob across the daily country of ours. Have you saying yarn up strong. All right, outdoor education program gives Woorabinda High School students a reason to attend classes. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Tyrone Colby, who's the Outdoor Schools for Kids Managing Director. And we have Tyrone on the line. Good morning, Tyrone. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Now, thank you very much for coming. I'm picking up an accent there. What accent? Where are you from? Who's Tyrone Colby?
Well, me, I'm from born, bred and educated in Cape Town in South Africa.
Okay.
But I've got a rich cultural background within me.
Okay, fantastic. So feels like an indigenous soul I'm picking up, yes?
Yes, a global indigenous blood running through my veins.
Oh, beautiful, fantastic. Look, congratulations, you're having success there. So we're talking with the outdoor education program, it's bringing more kids back to school. So tell us about this program, how long you've been operating this space, and look, if it's working, then fantastic. Hats off to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working with Woorabinda for the past, in term two and term three of this year,
mm-hmm.
but I've been running the program for the past 2 years. It's been so good working with the kids out in Woorabinda, just getting them, you know, interested in global, bushcraft and wilderness skills.
Mm-hmm.
And they've enjoyed it, which has been great on both the academic experiences within the classroom, but also attendance at school.
Well, when you look at the curriculum in this country, well, it would be around the world, it's not for everybody. So we need to have a bit of flexibility there to educate our kids across the globe, yes?
Yes, definitely. Kids respond to different forms of learning, and we've got to tap into their different potential that is inherent within them.
Fantastic.
So, you know, we can't just have one system.
All right, fantastic. Now, do you have a team of people running your outdoor program?
Not yet. It's just myself within this program.
Okay. Well, look, if it's working and you're kicking goals, this should be templated across the country. We need to have our kids in school. And, like, it's not be all, one size fits all and be all end all. We need that flexibility. And tell us how you first come along to put this in this program into schools. How was your approach? Did you have to contact the principal and do a presentation or deputation? Tell us about how that happened.
Yes, well, I guess I got to meet one of the teachers through a different program, and they were quite interested in what I was doing. Mm. It led up to me presenting to the school board about what the potential is of what we could do. Mm. The school board were quite happy with it, and then we trialed it to the kids, and they just loved it. And I, obviously, you know, I love it a lot.
Yes,
seeing these kids being so engaged.
Can you talk about some of the activities you do in regard to the program?
Yeah, the program is focused around, I guess, the five key survival skills that's out in the wilderness that you'd need. So it's based around, you know, protection or the shelter, you know, how you can construct different shelters using different methods.
Okay.
Establishing water security, you know, how to extract water from nature, how to filter it, purify it. And then going on to food security using different methods.
Yes.
You know, foraging, hunting, and so on. And then fire, you know, how to responsibly, you know, make a fire using different ignition methods. And then moving on to navigation so that they can navigate their way through the wilderness using modern and traditional methods.
Mm. I would say this, my friend Tyrone, you as a teacher, you would be learning a lot too from these deadly kids.
I learn a lot, you know. If you think you know everything, that's when you know, you know, you failed. You continuously learn from these kids.
We are students for life. Yeah, fantastic. Look, this is great guns. So are we talking high school or primary school here, Tyrone?
All forms. I've taught kids in different programs from as young as 5.
Okay.
And all the way up into high school, so 18 years old.
Sure. The other thing is this an opportunity for to pass this knowledge on and, you know, teach some of our, especially our First Nation teachers.
Yeah, definitely. The teachers have been very, very supportive of this.
Good.
And I've engaged with the teachers at different levels of information. Some of the teachers at Warrabinda or at Wadjawadja High School have that in-depth cultural background knowledge of, you know, of their culture, which,
yes,
you know, I'm not a First Nations person, so I don't, you know, I'm very careful in saying that this is an Indigenous program, but they bring a lot of value into the program.
Yeah, great. And it's great that you're traveling with that, with those respectful eyes and soul, my friend. Look, fantastic. Congratulations. How long has it been running for?
It's been running just over 2 years.
Okay.
In different forms. So I've got the school-based programs, got the events, I do some therapy-based sessions. So there's a various arms to what I'm doing.
Good, fantastic. This, like I said, is this the first time it's you've got this program operating in the high schools?
The Wadjawadja High School is the first high school that I've engaged in this formal context.
Okay. Like I said, because if it's bringing kids back to school, like I said, it should be templated across the country. So you need to get busy.
I'll welcome that challenge.
Good. Fantastic. Tyrone, good yarning with you. Thank you very much. And how can people look at the program as such? Can people, you got a web page, or how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, I think I've got two main ports of contact. One, I've got a website, so that is www.outdoorskillsforkids.com. So the number 4 for kids. And then I've got a very, very active Facebook page. So if you look me up on Facebook, Outdoor Skills for Kids, you'll see a ton of videos and reels and pictures of what we get to do.
All right. Well, get ready. I think you're going to get some phone calls, Tyrone.
Thank you so much, Seva.
Good yarning with you. You take care. All the best to the mob there, and we'll catch up soon, friend.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Deadly Yarn. His name is Tyrone Colby, Outdoor Skills for Kids. Do check it out online or Facebook page. That's 4 with the number 4, Outdoor Skills for Kids. He's the managing director. From South Africa, but he says he's got Indigenous blood within him in regard to the love and respect for Indigenous people. So he's working at Wadjawadja High School, the Queensland community of Warrabinda, and look, bringing kids back to school. 2 days a week he does this program, and kids are coming back to school on those 2 days a week to be active in this fantastic outdoor education program, which is deadly. So do check it out, your mob. Let's get our kids educated. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Yarn up with the bully on here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, CBM 98.7. I remember the day.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bummer Drip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, First Nations playgroup pilots set to support children's Indigenous children and families during early childhood. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with deadly sister Jess Davis, National Director of the Community Partner Team at SNAKE. And we've got Jess on the line. Good morning, Jess. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Jess?
Yeah, too deadly. My name's Jess Davis and Palawa Mob, and living and working and raising my little fellas on Darug land in Western Sydney, New South Wales.
All right, beautiful. Thank you very much. And cold country, I must add. I'm ringing from Cairns, of course. So we're talking about this beautiful space. First Nation playgroup pilots set to support Indigenous children and their families to learn and thrive through play. So enlighten us, please, about this deadly program.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. Look, SNAKE are very, very excited and honoured to be a part of this deadly program, which will see 13 Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisations, so ACCOs, funded to deliver First Nations-led playgroup services across Australia. Mm. So, you know, one thing I'm really excited about is the strength of this program and how First Nations playgroups really differ from other funded playgroup programs because they are community-led and they really acknowledge what our mob knows, you know, that our mob knows what's best for our kids and how to support them to thrive. And ACCOs, you know, they also understand the barriers that exist for our families in accessing early education and child and maternal health services, and they know how to weave in activities that enable our families to have that equitable and safe access to these services in their community. So what we're really excited to see is that this funding will allow for some of these ACCOs in the program to set up their playgroups for the first time. And for others, it's going to really support the expansion of further services. So in some regions and communities, we're seeing increased operation hours within this program or the establishment of cultural governance groups. Which, you know, is really important to see our elders and our cultural authority holders remunerated for their cultural knowledge and their time and, you know, how they can help govern our service operations.
We're talking about wise people. We're talking about elders at the table, which is fantastic. Yeah. And the old saying, takes the community to raise a child. So we're all in this together, aren't we, Jess?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's strengthening communities. You know, we've got children at the centre, but it's strengthening families, it's strengthening communities. And that's the beauty of this program. Some of our other organisations are looking at intergenerational programs. So, you know, bringing in our old people, bringing in our community and, you know, you're seeing things like that continuation of our language or revitalisation in some places of language. And it's that sense of belonging for our children and families too, you know, keeps us grounded. Mm. Other services are looking at, you know, mobile playgroups with this funding or outreach services to neighbouring communities, which is, you know, so deadly to see. We spoke with Yerribee Yuang earlier this week in Canberra, and they're looking at leasing and maintaining a bus. So that's going to allow for public transport for families where there has been no public transport before, so bringing them along to the playgroups. You know, we're seeing this funding can be used to support workforce and training and development. So it's like building our community again and strengthening our local workforce, which is so important.
And we're talking about culture at the table as well, aren't we?
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. And that's what's, you know, the beauty of this program is that it gives our ACCOs the autonomy to design these playgroup services that make sure that community decision-making and culturally led decision-making is at the heart of everything we do.
Yes.
You know, we all know that that's going to, you know, that improves our outcomes for our little ones.
Well, we're talking about a foundation here, aren't we? And we need a strong foundation for our little ones. And we're talking black involvement, black on black. You can't beat that. And that is the best ingredient for our young ones. And like I said, culture front and centre.
Absolutely. Front and centre, as it should be.
Yes.
You know, and that's the beauty of this too, is that every playgroup funded within this program or across the sector more broadly where our Aboriginal community controlled organisations are leading these playgroups, they're so different and so diverse, you know, as they should be.
Yes.
Because they're acknowledging the strengths of our community, the aspirations of our community and also, you know, the needs when you're talking about that accessing other services like allied health. You know,
yes.
I think, yeah, you see ACCOs are so innovative in that space. We're talking to another mob in South Australia last week and they're actually using this funding to support allied health services to travel hundreds of kilometres into their community because they don't have that access, or they don't have those services in community. So, you know, it's just providing families with those opportunities to engage in that pre-screening or health checks or giving them the tools and information to make sure that their children are strong, black and deadly, you know, and it's in those culturally safe spaces.
So talk about the program. How is it delivered as such? Are we talking kindergartens, if not schools? Do they approach SNAKE to receive it, or do you have people going to deliver it and then they own it? Or how does that work,
Jess? Yeah, great. Yeah, great question. So, look, the Department of Social Services approached SNAIC to work with the sector and identify 13 ACOs across Australia in all states and territories across, you know, that geographical spread to be invited to apply. So those grants have been executed and funding has been, you know, given to those 13 now. So SNAIC will work alongside those 13 organisations to provide tailored support, you know, which is such an honour, right? We're in a really privileged position where we get to learn from communities and walk alongside.
And community own it. Community own it.
Absolutely, community own it. And that's our, you know, our position is to walk alongside, to provide tailored support, you know, anything and everything that they need to, you know, strengthen and provide these quality, high-quality, culturally safe playgroups that honour and celebrate the cultural and spiritual life of their communities. So, yeah, it's a really
You have a webpage? How do people contact you, Jess?
Yeah, Too Deadly. We have a HQ, a head office in Naam, in Melbourne. I'm actually based on Darug land, but you can jump on our SNAIC website and we've got contact details there online, but always happy to have a yarn with anyone around different programs that are operating. We've actually, one of our 13 ACOs that have been funded is actually Wuchopperen Health Service Limited in Cairns.
Beautiful, yes.
Yeah, so really excited to, so make sure you give them a shout out and reach out to them too.
Local mob here, lovely, yep.
Absolutely, absolutely, and excited to walk alongside them too.
Good. Otherwise, your webpage, sorry, is that through SNAIC, is it?
Yep, that's the one. So previously we were the Secretariat of the National Aboriginal and Islander Childcare Services, but now we're known as the National Peak for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children.
Beautiful, and we need such a peak. Jess, thank you very much for sharing. Listen, all the best. You stay warm, and we will yarn soon, my sister.
We'll try my best. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your time.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Jess Davis, her name is, National Director of the Community Partners team at SNAIC and First Nations Playgroup, a pilot set to support Indigenous children and families during early childhood. Fantastic. Working with our mob, our young ones, our culture front and centre, and getting it together and black on black, Too Deadly. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. Yarn with Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummerbrit Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too Deadly.
Eddie on the track. So vulnerable, rather be lonely Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember. Hey, Mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Used to leave the spare house key underneath the welcome mat. Thinking about those little things always seems to take me back. Now I leave the door ajar ever since you walked out the room. I don't know where you are, but I'm hoping you'll come home soon. When the weather turned it on, 40Ks to the beach, now it feels 40Ks too long. Remember when we used to stay 10th floor at Bayview? Now it's overtime and take away. Even when the skies are blue,
on your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, why is advanced life planning important for First Nations people? A recent study commissioned by Queensland Public Trustee revealed that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are 57% less likely to understand their options and choices when it comes to advanced life planning. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Ben Rosenquist, Queensland Public Trustee, Cairns Assistant Regional Manager. We have Ben online. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Good, Trevor. Good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about the recent study commissioned by Queensland Public Trustee. Our First Nation people, we're talking about 57% less likely to understand the options and choices when it comes to advanced life planning. So we behind the eight ball in this space. Do we have First Nation organisations out there communicating with our people, or is it on the table as such, or what do you think the numbers are so high in regarding likely to understand their options?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult topic for all cultural backgrounds to discuss, Trevor, in terms of advanced life planning. It's one of those uncomfortable topics that not many people want to talk about, thinking about getting old or potentially passing away. But certainly in the Cairns region, we're trying to, at the Public Trustee, push for a bit more of a conversation around people making those sorts of documents, or at least having them, having those conversations with family and friends about what they want in later life. And certainly I think seeing it throughout all of Australian culture, it's really important that no matter the cultural background, that people really increase their input and discussions around advanced life planning. So I dare say that there is good work happening from all organisations around, but certainly more conversations at that family level and discussing it with loved ones is the best way to get the conversation started.
Well, I think black and white, mainly First Nation people, we've got that little fear of talking about death or talking about getting old, you know, but it's inevitable and what have you. So there may be a problem there. So please explain advanced life planning. What actually is it?
Yeah, so of course, advanced life planning is basically making decisions about what you want for your future, whether or not that's about your health care. So if you get sick, what you want to happen, what happens with your money and your property. If you can't do those things yourself, or if you can't express those wishes at that time. So although we don't like to think about it, things happen in life that we don't plan all the time. So there might come a time where we don't get to have a say about what we want. But if we have advanced life planning and make documents, and certainly letting our family and friends know what we would want in those situations, makes it easy when the time comes, because they know that they're doing what you would have wanted, especially if it's written down somewhere as well.
So virtually talking wills, and I'm reading here, EPA, what's the acronym EPA?
Yeah, so enduring power of attorney is generally shortened to EPA. I'll explain sort of what they are. An enduring power of attorney is a document that we use while people are alive. So that is basically a document that you draft up, appoint a person or multiple people, or even the trustee company or a trusted professional to make decisions for you while you're still alive. So that can be things related to your health, where you live, who you have contact, what services you have, how your money's spent and how your property is managed. That's really in the event that somebody loses capacity, or so loses the ability to make those decisions for themselves. So we know as people get older, things like dementia and Alzheimer's, all of those things become a bit more common and unfortunately affect people as they get older. But we also know people have incidents where there's maybe a car accident or something, and they get an acquired brain injury.
So it's a document that talks for you, doesn't it? That speaks for you for while your mind is in a good space. It talks to you and just confirms where you want things to go and what do you want to happen, so to speak, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that's the best way to put it. It's basically setting out what you want to happen. If you couldn't say it for yourself, it's just your words, but used at a later date, really.
And you talk about EPA, the power of attorney, enduring power of attorney. That you have to appoint somebody to adhere to that, don't you?
Yeah, you do. So whether or not it's an individual, multiple individuals, or a trusted professional, you appoint those people. But it's really important to really have a discussion with that person to make sure they're willing to take it on and that you really trust them, because unfortunately we do see them get misused from time to time.
Well, we're talking about getting old. We're talking about your mind being in a good space. I suppose we are preventing financial elder abuse, you could say.
Yeah, of course, and that's part of the reason that we really encourage everyone to have a will and enduring power of attorney, because unfortunately we're seeing incidences across Australia rise with financial elder abuse. As people are living longer and their parents are sort of ageing in place or going into care and needing to use those financial resources, unfortunately people see them as... you know, that as their inheritance sometimes and get a little bit impatient around it. So we do see an increase in financial elder abuse across all different communities and walks of life.
Yes.
And these documents really help prevent those things from happening.
Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah, for our people out there to reach out, who do people go to? Where do they go in regarding organising a will and an EPA?
Yeah, of course. So, look, the professionals that are out there, there's various people who can do enduring powers of attorney and wills. There's various ways you can do it, but probably the best and most, I guess, simplest way of doing it to get the best advice that you need would be going to a professional. So whether or not that's a lawyer or a solicitor or another professional to draft up those documents or assist with them. The public trustee can assist with our free will service as well for people, but obviously making sure that you look for the service that's right for your circumstances. Based, you know, if you've got a lot of assets, then it might be best to get some other advice around that as well, around all of your estate. If your affairs are pretty simple, you can come to the public trustee or a simpler form of preparing those documents if need be as well.
Ben Rosenquist, thank you so very much. Good information, very important information, a good conversation. Thank you for your time. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, Ben.
Thanks so much, Trevor. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn, and that is Ben Rosenquist, Queensland Public Trustee, Cairns Assistant Regional Manager. And we're just talking about why is advanced life planning important for First Nations people. Well, we all need to do a bit and to looking after ourselves and our future and what have you. And a piece of paper, a document, states that fact. So it's all about such things as wills and enduring power of attorney, advanced health directive. So ask for our people to step up and look after themselves and reach out, and it is an investment, and just looking after yourself and regarding, well, to getting old and don't know what's happening with the mind and where the mind will take you and what will happen with the mind, or, you know, like Ben mentioned, car accidents or what have you, or any situation like that, it could take away your belief and your thought process to where you want things to be in order, so to speak. So it is a document that speaks for you. So we all should get one. There it is, very important, and have discussions anyway before going there. All right, your mob too, Deadly. Have you saying yarn up strong? National Talk Black, Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. You are yarning with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
If you love me, if you love me, let me know. If you love me, let me know. Don't gotta hurry now. We ain't got time to see. But I ain't really know, so if you love me, let me know. Calling my phone, calling my phone. Yo, FaceTime, he wanna see my pretty face. What I do, he wanna know. He wanna know. Yeah. Well, my attention wanna keep me to himself. I told him keep it on the low. Keep it on the low, low. So good, I got him obsessed. Now he's stalking on my post. Stalking on my post. Spending money, take me shopping, he be doing the most. But I can never trust a soul. Baby, I'm by my business. I ain't playing games. Really out here chasing these millions. With no makeup, still the baddest. Just living the building. He know I'm the realest. Think he catching feelings. But I gotta do me. When I didn't have it, where was everybody? Now I'm up, they wanna message me and say I'm sorry. They know I'm great, they told me don't forget me when you make it. I tell them where was your support when I came out from the pavement. If you love me, let me know. 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 Cause you got me in the zone. But I ain't really know. So if you love me, let me know.
you love me, let me know. Calling my phone, calling my phone. Yo, FaceTime, he wanna see my pretty face. What I do, he wanna know. He wanna know. Yeah. Well, my attention wanna keep me to himself. I told him keep it on the low. Keep it on the low, low. So good, I got him obsessed. Now he's stalking on my post. Stalking on my post. Spending money, take me shopping, he be doing the most. Can you hold me slowly? Nobody know me like you know me. Hold me slowly. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Can you hold me slowly? Nobody know me like you know me. Hold me slowly. Nobody, nobody, nobody.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
To the ZK, time to hustle hard for the payday. This a conquest on my way to the TOP. I got no time for the enemies. These possum tongues say friend of me. But the strong heart of a R.E.B. got a snake, but I act finicky. So I kill him quick with a free flow. I break necks and kill egos. Keep them coming back like good puss on a free coat. I'm about to make pain like a Mino. Two puffs of the weed smoke. Sick of my broke friends with no pay. Always come around and freeload. To the bad vibes, tell them still I be. It's R.E.B. to the cemetery. Give a fuck what you telling me. Live life like I'm 24 with that black mamba mentality. Truth never miss, shoot from the hip, never a bitch. I ain't like grip when I'm flipping the switch. Digging your ditch, dead or alive, top fly. Red eye bullets, we stay at the top of your list. Ain't that a bitch, it got you saying.
Cliff, Kelly, good, do what they do and hold the vibe.